Hello, you're listening to the teaching podcast of Bay Ridge Christian Church. Each Sunday, our aim is to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ from the text of the Bible and to catalyze the hearts of our hearers to love and gratitude towards God and all of His creation. We hope you enjoy this teaching, and we pray that you'll be encouraged to trust in Jesus today.
Our series for the fall, and we're starting Advent next week, so we're just kind of taking a day off today to do just a one-off teaching. We're going to be looking at thankfulness. We're calling this teaching just simply thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. I'll be using the New International Version. You can follow along on the screen with all the verses, and there will be quite a number of verses today. Hear now the word of the living God. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Advent's going to begin next week, and so we're doing this one-off teaching this week. And since Thanksgiving is going to be Thursday, and Thanksgiving is absolutely one of my favorite holidays, I thought it'd be great for us to take a look at this topic, particularly because have you noticed how as time moves on, Thanksgiving is getting less and less and less attention in our culture? We're starting with Christmas stuff earlier and earlier and earlier, and that's exactly what it's about. Marty just said it's about money, and it is. There's no money to be made off of Thanksgiving unless you happen to be Butterball or something and selling turkeys. So it's almost overlooked because consumerism can't stand us being thankful and content. If we started practicing gratitude as a regular part of life, our consumerist culture would take a major hit. But I'm going to encourage us to give our consumers culture just exactly that hit. Because we're going to be talking about gratitude and thankfulness. It is a critical attitude and character trait in the Scripture. It's almost impossible to overstate how important gratitude and thankfulness are. So we're going to really just quickly look at a number of things about the biblical practice of gratitude and thankfulness. And then we'll talk about how to apply the word, and we're going to come to the Lord's table. So the biblical practice of gratitude. Notice in our text, we're told that we are called to be thankful. And in essence, we're told to be thankful for many things. The simple phrase here, and it's actually part of the two previous verses are part of the same sentence in Greek. But Paul says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So notice, he's telling us here, just simply give thanks. He doesn't even tell us why we're supposed to give thanks or what we are to give thanks for. Here, he does tell us why in a minute, but he doesn't give us a list of things. He's just giving us a command, and this is because we're called to be thankful, according to Scripture, for many, many, many things. And so Paul's not going to try and list them out here. He's really telling us you need to have an attitude of thankfulness. And so what I'm going to do, I began this by just looking up the Greek word there for giving thanks is eucharisteo, from which we get Eucharist, which we'll be taking a little while, the word for thanksgiving in some denominations. And so I just said, where's it used in the New Testament? And came up with a number of places, but I also started looking around a little bit more with how it was phrased in the Old Testament. And I'm going to run through 11 things in the Scripture. I could give many more, but I'm going to do these quickly. 11 things you and I are commanded to be thankful for, or we see in practice being thankful for. And it's not that you're going to remember every one of them, but I want to show you how many things you have to be grateful for as you sit here today. Number one, we are told, probably more often than anything else in Scripture, we are to be thankful for God's goodness and His covenant love. God's goodness and covenant love. In Psalm 136:1, we read this, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. And that exact phrase, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, His love endures forever, occurs five times in the Psalms. That whole phrase occurs verbatim five times in the Psalms. And He's telling us that we give thanks to God for His character. God is good. Whoever you are, whatever your circumstances, whatever else is happening, this is always true. God is good. And beyond that, because God is good, we're told to give thanks for God's covenant, unfailing love. This particular phrase, his love that endures forever, we'll see that this word chesed is God's covenant love. It means that God is, sometimes it's called everlasting love, sometimes it's called covenant mercies or covenant love. There's a variety of ways because it's hard for us to capture it all. But the idea is that we have a God whose goodness is expressed to us as his people. If you are sitting here as a believer, one specific way God is good to you is his love towards you is a covenant love. Even when you and I are unfaithful, he is always faithful. Even when we fall short, he never does. Even when we turn away, God does not turn away from us. And the psalmist says five times in this exact phrase, look, God is good and his covenant love endures forever. If for no other reason, you should give thanks for that. Second thing we are told is for the specific ways God has helped us. In Psalm 107, the entire psalm is a psalm of thanksgiving. And verses 1 and 8 read this way. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Has anybody heard that before? All right, here's another one of the occurrences of the exact same phrase. And in verse 8, it tells us, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. Now, what's going on in Psalm 107 is, it gives a whole bunch of ways. It says some people went down to the sea in ships and big storms broke out and it looked like they were going to drown, but God reached down and saved them. Let them give thanks to him because he is good and his love endures forever. It gives a whole list of ways. A lot of scholars think it was used at the temple that almost when you came down to give worship to God, you could use this psalm because almost no matter what you wanted to give thanks to God for, here's an example of it in this psalm, and you can pray it out. It's a general psalm of thanksgiving and praise. But what it's saying is, look, it's not just that God is good in his character and generally. Here are specific ways God has delivered us. When Grace talked this morning about a variety of ways that God's meeting her needs and fulfilling his promise to her, we need to stop and say, God, you said you were going to do this, and you did exactly what you said. We don't just go on. We are grateful. We are thankful for God's intervention. We are thankful that God has raised us up. I was thinking the other day as I was running, many of you remember it was just a little over a year ago that we were going through that week in the hospital with Danielle. And in the midst of that, you can sit there and say, why is this happening? Why is this happening to my daughter, or for us, it was our granddaughter? Why are we going through this? And then forget to say, God, I am grateful. You reached down and you saved and you healed and you brought her back. God, we are grateful for that. Do we give thanks for the things? Psalm 107 does it. And remember this story. The New Testament equivalent of this is, you remember the 10 lepers? And Jesus heals them. And they go away, and how many of them come back? One. And what does Jesus say? Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? And if you remember, it was actually a foreigner that came back. And Jesus says, how come he came back, but the others didn't? And the answer is, because when things go wrong, we ask where God is. When things go right, we just go on our way. And God says, don't do that. No, I specifically intervened, specifically give me thanks. Third thing, and these are going to go into the New Testament occurrences of that same word, for the food we eat, for the food we eat. In Matthew chapter 15, and there's many places I could show this in the New Testament, but Matthew 15, 36, we're reading about Jesus, and it says, then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. Now, I want you to notice a couple things about this. Number one, who is the one that's giving thanks for the food here? Jesus, the Son of God. Now, what's he about to do with these 7 loaves and fish? Multiply and make it. Does Jesus need anybody else to provide food for him? Do you need people to provide food for you? But is Jesus thankful for the food he has? The eternal Son of God, who is the Word that was spoken and all of creation leapt into existence, the one who providentially holds all things together so that the universe works and so that the food is produced by the ground. That Son of God says, I am grateful for the food I have. Do we? Paul the Apostle does the exact same thing in Acts chapter 27, verse 35. In the midst of a deadly storm, he takes food and he follows these actions and gives thanks. And I want you to notice here, does any of this sound familiar? He took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he gave it. Do those verbs sound familiar? Anything we do? Now, the reason for that is, I want you to understand, every meal you take should remind you of this meal. They're all types and shadows and pointers. And it's a reminder to us, I am grateful for the bread I eat, and I am especially grateful for the bread of life that has come down from heaven. And every time I eat a meal, it's a chance to give thanks to God. Do not eat a meal without stopping and giving thanks. Before or after, whenever your practice is, but be grateful. You live in a world where there are billions who are starving. Billions that do not have food. Not because God hasn't provided enough food for the 7 billion people on our planet, by the way, but because our own wickedness has excess for some and nothing for others. And when you and I are in the place that we have food, give thanks to God. When you sit down on Thursday and you are eating a feast that kings would have had a hard time imagining, make sure you give thanks to God. Do exactly what Jesus did. Give thanks, break it, give it, and rejoice before God together. Go without doing it, because God is the one who provides our daily bread. And let me say, one of the reasons this is important and God wants us to do it is, if you do this, how many times a day are you giving thanks? Several times a day. You've got multiple opportunities, and part of what I want to encourage is not just being thankful on Thanksgiving, being thankful every day, it being our attitude. To do that, the practice, the regular practice is important. And so here's a great way, multiple times a day, you can stop for a moment and say, God, I am grateful. You are good to me. You gave me this food to eat. Next example is for being heard in prayer. John 11, 41. Jesus is standing at the tomb of Lazarus. And I want to remind you, Jesus has already said he's going to go raise Lazarus from the dead. And somebody help me again. Who is Jesus? Son of God. Son of God. Okay? How long have he and the Father been talking? Yeah. Eternity. Here's Jesus' response in John 11, 41. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. No sin, nothing breaking communication between him and the Father, but deep gratitude that you hear my prayer. You and I, on the other hand, have sinned, have broken our fellowship with God, have no reason to expect that God would hear us, and yet he does. But are we grateful like Jesus was? Just for the fact that we're heard in prayer. It is no small thing, friend, that you can talk to God. I remind you, if you want to see how little access you have, call the White House tomorrow and say you want to speak to the president. Give it a shot. You're not going to get through. You talk to just a larger organization. You can't get through. Many churches, you can't even get a hold of the pastor. But you can, at any moment, say, Father, and he says, yes. That should amaze you and I. Always give thanks to God that you hear my prayer. I always have access to you through Jesus Christ. The next thing is, when God answers our prayer, we should give thanks to God. Are you seeing? How many opportunities do you have to thank God? All the time, every day. It's a regular thing. We're told for answered prayer. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, all of these, again, are the same verb where Paul says, give thanks to God in all circumstances, for it's God's will. In 2 Corinthians 1:11, he's saying that the Corinthians have been praying for him, and then it's being answered. He said, "And then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many." Paul says, many people are praying, and God answers. And what that happens then is that creates thanksgiving to God for not only hearing, but actually granting our request. When God hears our prayer, do not walk away. It is an amazing thing. God does not need us, and yet he delights to hear us. And he delights to answer our prayers. It is an amazing thing. And no one has more access or power to God, power from God, because, well, they're really holy. Their prayers are really going to get answered. If you are in Christ, you have ultimate access to God, and he delights to hear and answer your prayers. We should regularly thank God for answering us. Again, go back to the 10 lepers. Oh, Jesus, Son of Man, have mercy, hear our prayer, heal us. And he does, and what did 9 of them do? And this is awesome. I'm on my way. One of them says, oh, Jesus, you heard my prayer, and you answered my prayer, and I, a leper, am now cleansed. I, an outcast, am now brought back in. Does it astound you that the other 9, where's the gratitude? And I wish I could say, oh, Father, I thank you, I'm not like them. But I can't say that. How many things do I receive from God and I forget and I go on my way? Because, you know, see, this strikes at why we need the gospel so badly. Why we need it so badly. Because, you know, when things go right, well, they really ought to be that way for me. Because I'm a good guy. And at the end of the day, God's pretty fortunate to have me. Now, I know none of y'all have ever thought that way. Right? You know how you can really tell how grateful you are that you have been brought in by God and that he hears and he answers? Is how much we tell him I am grateful. And does my gratitude and my amazement grow the longer I walk with him, or does it lessen? Because friend, if it lessens, go back to the gospel. All of this is the fruit of the gospel. Another area that we are told is we're to be grateful for other believers. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, Paul says, "For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, for your faith is being reported all over the world." Paul, the apostle, thanks God for all believers. And in fact, I just picked Romans 1:8, but how often does Paul begin his letters with a prayer of thanksgiving for the people he's writing to? Well, every one of them. I mean, even the Galatians, he says it. Then he has to say, wow, are you in a mess? Because you've lost the gospel. But even there, he says, I thank God for you. I am grateful for you. Paul hasn't even been to Rome yet. He doesn't even know these people yet, but he is grateful for these believers. When we pray for other people, here's a great way to practice giving thanks. When you are praying for others in your family, your neighbors, if it's somebody you're having a problem with, begin by thanking God for that person. That person bears the image of God. God has brought you into a relationship with that person for a reason. Great way to practice gratitude. Spend less time typing on social media, griping about people, and more time talking to Jesus about those people and giving thanks to God for it. Because can I tell you, Facebook is not a whirlwind of thanksgiving. If any of you haven't noticed that yet, it's kind of the opposite of that. And it's always a question I have. When you're downgrading that politician, are you giving thanks to God for them? Because we're told to pray for our leaders, to give thanks to God for the people who God has placed over us. Doesn't mean I like their policies, but do I actually do that? Do I give thanks to God for other people? Particularly if somebody's a believer. do I give thanks to God for them, because they are a marvel, they are a miracle, they are another person who's been regenerated by the Spirit of God, and they are my brother and my sister, and I will spend eternity with them. Is that my attitude? Because if it's not my attitude in prayer, is it likely to be my attitude in personal relationship? Almost always, when you see a personal relationship between believers descend into chaos, you can almost guarantee there's been no attitude of thanksgiving and prayer for one another. It's a whole lot harder for me to turn around and badmouth you or do something if I have legitimately been giving thanks to God for you. Do we do that? As I pray through for our church, this is a practice I try to do. I've got everybody in our congregation in my little prayer app, and as your name comes up, I begin almost every single time saying, God, thank you for that person. Thank you that you're at work in their life. Thank you for what I see in them, and then start praying for whatever it is that I know of that you need. Do we give thanks to God for one another? Another thing, for the spiritual gifts that we've been given. Paul uses the same word again in 1 Corinthians 14:18. Where he says, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Paul's thanking God here for the gift of tongues, but he's grateful for every spiritual gift. He gives thanks for both the Romans and the Corinthians for how they excel in spiritual gifts. And I want you to understand, every believer has been given spiritual gifts. They are not for a few. You and I are able to minister to other people because the Holy Spirit works in us in a specific, different way. I've used it in the past. If you want to think in modern terms, it's almost like a chemical reaction. A spiritual gift is nothing more than the way God has wired you together in creation, the way he is working in you in your regeneration, the way the Holy Spirit works in and through you. That's a spiritual gift. I don't care what label you give to it, but are you and I grateful that God has not only created you, he has not only redeemed you, his Spirit dwells in you, and he actually wants to work through you to bless other people. How amazing is that? God doesn't need us. He's got untold angels at his disposal, not to mention he can just personally do it. And for some reason, he calls us into this with him. And are we grateful that God gives these gifts to us? And Paul's grateful not only for the gifts he's been given, he's grateful for the gifts given to others, and we should be too, because this is how Christ builds his body. It's how the church is built up. It's how the gospel goes forth. It's how we are encouraged and ministered to. Have you ever been with somebody and maybe you're going through a hard time and they just encourage you and they help you and they point you towards Christ? Are we grateful at that moment? Say, God, I am so grateful you gave them that gift and they were here and they spoke. There have been some of you in the past, and I've mentioned, where I was down and somebody just out of the blue picked up the phone and called me and gave me a word of encouragement that helped me and sustained me at a down moment. Am I the one leper or the other nine at that moment? Do I say, God, I'm so grateful for my brother and my sister, for the word of encouragement they gave to me? Another thing that uses the same word, our inheritance in the kingdom of light. Paul is giving his prayer for the Colossians, and he says that we are giving thanks to God the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the kingdom of light. If you are sitting here and you're a Christian and you can't think of anything else on Thanksgiving Day to praise God for and give thanks to him for this, how about this? You were dead and now you're alive. You were in the kingdom of darkness serving Satan, who hates every fiber of your being, and now you have been transferred into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of God's dear Son, who loves you with an everlasting covenant love. If you can't think of anything else, go with that. And not only that, Paul says, notice, is for the inheritance we have. Because God has not only raised you from the dead, God has not only brought you out of darkness and into light, God has said, I have so clothed you with the righteousness of my Son that when I look at you, I don't see one that I want far away from me. I see my child, and you are an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus Christ. What I have that I have given to him, I freely share with you. If that doesn't make you grateful, I got nothing. Go ahead and take off. I got nothing else for you. That's what awaits you. Whatever else goes on in this world, ISIS can roll into your village, take everything your family has ever had, destroy all of your stuff, chop your head off and kill you, and they cannot touch your inheritance. They can't touch it. No one can, because it is guaranteed by God, and it is eternal, an eternal inheritance. And Paul says, give thanks to God for that. That ought to consume us in our hearts, our great inheritance. Ninth, for others receiving the word of God. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, and we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believed. Paul says, look, I remember when I came there to Thessalonica, and I came in there, and I preached. You didn't receive it as the word of men, and that is a miracle. You were dead. You were hostile to God. You were set against God and his word, and yet your eyes were opened, and you believed, and you received the word of God, and all I can say is thanks be to God. It is a miracle. I want you to know, here's a cause of thanksgiving for me every week. You all sit here and listen to me speak. It's a miraculous thing. There are all kinds of things you could be doing right now. And most people in Anne Arundel County are not sitting and listening to the Word of God right now. It is a miracle. You have any desire to listen to some dummy talk about a book that was written thousands of years ago. And yet something inside you says, I long to hear the Word of God. I never take that for granted. And you should never take that for granted for yourself, for your children, and for others. I am grateful, grateful, grateful that I have four wonderful kids that have grown up. None of them are derelicts. They're not out causing problems. They're good, solid citizens. I am so grateful for that. But you know what I'm A, number one, grateful for? Every one of them have believed and received the Word of God. There is nothing that is more important to me as a dad than that they believe and they receive the Word of God. That needs to give thanks to God for that. Never, ever take that for granted. And I want to encourage you, thank God for our children who are doing it here. When we pray for them every week, that's not just a little, well, you know, we got a couple of minutes, let's throw a prayer in for our kids. Are we giving thanks to God that our kids are having the Word built into them right now? Right now, there are people laboring, teaching our children God's Word, and it's sinking deep into their souls. Are we grateful for that? Number 10, Christ's redemptive work. And this is actually, again, the Greek word thanks, and all of these that I've been running through, I just said, where's this word used in the New Testament? And this is the Eucharist. And we read in Luke 22, starting in verse 17, after taking the cup, he gave thanks. And he said, take this and divide it among you, for I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Notice twice, and the Eucharist, which is literally the thanksgiving. When you hear a Christian denomination say, we take the Eucharist, all they're doing is using the Greek word and saying, we take the Thanksgiving meal. We give thanks to God for the redemptive work of Christ. When we come to this table, that's what's front and center, the redemptive work of Christ. Where would you and I be without Christ's atoning work? Friend, you'd be under the wrath of God. So would I. If it was not for the redemptive atoning work of Christ, we would be without God. We would be without hope in this world. We should give thanks for the redemptive work of Christ every single day, because every other blessing I have talked about has been secured for you because of Christ's atoning work in your behalf. He has loved you. He has given himself for you. And every good blessing we have is because all of God's promises are yes and amen in Christ. And we receive them and we give amen and thanks to God. And all of those blessings are secured for us both now and for eternity. Are we grateful for the redemptive work of Christ? Last one, for God's rule. In Revelation 11, 17, we see the song of the people in heaven. And they say, we give thanks to you, Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. You got nothing else, you can thank God that He is ruling the universe and He rules it far more wisely than you and I would. I do not always understand why God rules the way He does. I in fact, sometimes take up more time in prayer than I should telling Him what He should be doing. But what I ought to be doing is telling Him, I'm grateful it's you ruling and not me. And there's another thing you can give thanks for is that Brett's not ruling, okay? Every day you should give thanks for that. Jesus, I am grateful you sit on the throne, you are ruling, you are working all things wisely and righteously. And this is important for you and I because no matter how confusing things may look to us, we have to remember and give thanks that God is ruling for His glory and for our good. Always. If you are in Christ, everything God is doing is for His glory and for your ultimate good. No matter how confusing it may look in the short term, God is always at work ruling for His glory and our good. And that leads, that's 11 things. But we're going to go back to the verse and look and notice. And the reason I gave God's rule last is because it leads into the next thing. Notice Paul says, we don't just give thanks when things are going well. When does Paul say we give thanks? Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. We can give thanks in everything because circumstances do not change our posture of gratitude. They have no effect on it. We do this because we know that God is ruling all things and He does this for His glory and our good. This is Romans 8:28, which is actually based on Joseph's words at the end of Genesis. You remember in Romans 8:28, we're told, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And how many things is God working for your good? All things. Is there anything going to happen to you this week, this month, this year, this life that God somehow said, whoa, that got outside my grasp? Anything that God's going to say, well, you know, they need a few things that are really bad for them. Never, not once, ever. All things God works for your good. If you are called according to His purpose in Christ Jesus, if you love Him. Circumstances change constantly, but God's character and His covenant love are unchanging, and so we give thanks no matter the circumstance. Give thanks to the Lord no matter the circumstance because He is good and His love endures forever. That's the call for you and I, no matter the circumstance. And the last thing, notice what he says, we give thanks because it's God's will for us. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You want to do something funny? Go home and Google, don't do it right now, but go home and Google God's will. How do I find God's will? You're going to get like 50 trillion answers, most of which are bad. People are running around trying to figure out what God's will is for what color shoelaces I need to buy and all kinds of stuff that the Scripture's not even talking about. Paul says, here's what God's will is for you. Give thanks in all circumstances. Pray constantly. Rejoice in everything. Give thanks in all circumstances. That's God's will for you. No matter who you are, what you're going through, I can tell you the will of God right now. Pray constantly, always be full of joy, and give thanks in everything. That is God's will for you, my friend. That's what He calls for us to do. And we think that God, if only God will bless us and change our circumstances, then I'm going to be able to be filled with joy. If only God would change what was going on, then I could really devote myself to prayer. If only God would really make things differently, then I would be thankful. But the reality is, friend, God calls you and I to joy, to prayer, and to thanksgiving regardless of the circumstance. And if you and I can't be grateful, joyful, filled with prayer, filled with thanksgiving in the bad times, it's not going to shift when the good times come. Remember the 10. Remember the 10 lepers. The circumstances change. Everything gets better. There's no gratitude because it wasn't in them when the circumstance was bad. The will of God is to change the way we are as people, regardless of our circumstances. That's what God wants for you and me. Circumstances and situations may change, but our character should be Christ-like and filled with the fruit of the Spirit, and thus unaffected by the circumstances. It doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what happens between now and Thanksgiving morning. My response should be this gratitude. This type of character is developed as we practice prayer and giving thanks. And it's prior to the change in character. I want you to understand this. This is an important thing we lose in our culture today. What you practice every day shapes who you are. Okay? Your practices every day, not what you say you think, not what you would like to be, but the little things you do shape who you are. It's one of the reasons we gather as the church. Liturgy, how we worship, shapes who you and I are. That's why you can't download it via a podcast. You have to gather with the church and go through the practices, and they change your character. You understand what I'm saying? Now, what that means, we're going to jump into applying the word and come to the table, and I'm not going to ask the questions I normally do. The obvious question is, am I grateful? You can work that one out. What I want to do is talk about that real quickly, how to develop that lifestyle of thankfulness. Let me give a couple practices. Number one, thank God at every meal for his provision for you. Do not go through a meal without stopping and giving thanks. Even if it's nasty food like McDonald's. Give God thanks at every meal. You have to just bow your head for that moment, say it, whatever, but give God thanks. Parents, teach your children to do this. It's a great time. What I encourage you to do that we've been encouraging for years, that's what I pray for our missionaries every day. And you want to get some gratitude before you eat? Give thanks to God for the food and then pray for your persecuted brothers and sisters like we're doing this month. If that doesn't produce gratitude in you, I got nothing for you. You're not thinking. Give thanks to God specifically at every meal. Number two, every time you come into prayer, spend time giving thanks to God. Every time you pray, when you're praying for somebody, give thanks to God for the person you're praying for. Always, even if they're being a problem. Even if you're praying because they're trapped in sin, they are still the image of God. God has still brought them into your life. They have probably been your friend or family member. Give thanks to God for them, for their life. Every time you're praying, give thanks for God's sovereign rule. Even if you're praying when things seem to be a disaster, bad circumstances for you and I does not mean God fell off the throne. We still do what they did in the book of Revelation. In Revelation, when they're praying that, they are in the midst of Christians being martyred everywhere and everything else going on in that part of the book, and they're still saying, God, you have taken your rule. You are ruling all things, and we give you thanks. Is that what we do? Thirdly, for God hearing our prayer. Again, and all those things that we had above. Every time you pray, practice thanksgiving. Do not come into God's presence without giving him thanks. That'll build this attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude. Number three, not only thank God at every meal and every time we pray, each week gather in worship to give thanks to God. I can't stress enough again, it's the practice and the practice of coming together in a world that by next Sunday, I remind you, we are about to go into our yearly orgy of spending to try and stuff and fill a hole. Be countercultural. Gather with the church of God and say, as for me and my house, I am grateful. I am thankful. And I don't need trinkets. What I need is the redemption of Christ, and it's been given to me freely. Gather with the church of God. Number four, this Thanksgiving, special day, give thanks to God. Do not participate in hellish Black Thursday. Do not. Be countercultural. Strike a blow at the idol of greed and say, for 24 hours, nothing but gratitude. This is a contented zone. I can't state it strong enough. Please don't give in. Because make no mistake, It is a false god. It is a god that you are being called to. I don't know how else to put it. Jesus said it's a god, this greed. It is idolatry. And we've got one day a year where our culture said, we're going to sit back and be thankful and grateful. And that God says, oh, no, you can't. You can't, you can't, you can't. I encourage you, sit back and say, I can, I can, I can. I can be grateful. I'll move on. Thanksgiving. Verbally give thanks. All of these things I'm saying, don't just say, well, God knows. For whatever reason, he tells us, I don't want to hear that. He tells us when you gather, sing. When you gather, pray. When you are grateful, speak it out. So I want to encourage you on Thanksgiving, actually take some time, verbally give thanks together. Thank God for the meal, but thank God for other things. Speak that gratitude to one another and speak that gratitude to God and do it verbally. What's going without saying needs to be said. That practice changes my attitude. And then that leads to the last thing, and we're going to come to the table, which is speak your gratitude verbally to God and others regularly. Here's a question. I'm not really doing the questions today for applying the word, but here's a good question to ask yourself. If I go and ask people, is Brett a grateful person, or is he more likely to complain? What would they say? Because out of the abundance of the heart, I'll let you fill in the rest. What's going on in here is what comes out of here. Is what's coming out of here to other people and to God in my prayer, thankfulness or complaining? Because I want to tell you, this is another thing about our culture. I love America. And we get a lot of stuff done because we're always asking how we can make it better. And that's got some good points. But here's a bad point. We find it very hard to be content. It's never good enough. And if that seeps into you and I, we'll never have an attitude of thanksgiving. So it's a great way, just regularly in your conversations with people, do you speak gratitude and thankfulness? Do you let them know something good God did for you? Do you let them know, thanks for doing that. Thank you for helping that person or doing this. Do you regularly say that? Or do we just take it for granted, but make sure we inform people via social media of all the things we don't like? Because that's coming out of the heart. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to come down to the table, and we're going to be doing Eucharist. Esther is going to be singing a special in just a moment, I believe. We're going to open the curtains magically. And Esther's going to be singing, actually, I believe, All Creatures of Our God and King. And I want to let that flow in, because as we come to the table, we're going to give thanks to God for two things. Number one, for all of God's gifts to us. Remember, every meal is a pointer towards this. Everything we have is God's good gift to us. And so I want you to come to the table, and I want you to give thanks. And you can hear as Esther is singing All Creatures of Our God and King and all the things that God has done for us. It's a great Thanksgiving hymn. But then number two, I want us to turn our focus specifically. The Eucharist is for the redemptive work of Christ. It's a miracle you can come to this table and that I can come to this table. And I want to encourage you to do exactly that. I want to remind our guests, you do not have to be a member here at Bay Ridge to participate in this meal. You have to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have to know he is your only hope of redemption, that you deserve not inheritance, not kingdom of light. You deserve punishment from God, but God has graciously in Christ forgiven our sins. If you believe that, we invite you to come and eat and participate with us. For what I received from the Lord, I pass on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out so that your sins may be forgiven. Drink from this, all of you, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Father, this morning we come, and our prayer as we come to this table is simply one of thanks. Lord, as we come to this table and eat, we are reminded of all the many ways you bless us. Father, all the things we quickly went through looking in your word, you have given all of those to us. But Father, as we come to this table, we are especially reminded that we who are cut off from you because of our sin, because of our rebellion, Father, you have graciously opened a way of restoration through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, this morning, we say thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. As you get the elements, please hold on to them. We'll take them together, and I again encourage you to meditate along as Esther sings. Our holy triune God, we do give you praise for all things that you have given to us. Father, it was you who created. Son, all things were created through you. Holy Spirit, you are the one who brooded over the primordial waters and brought out order and life. Holy Trinity, you are our creator. And as we hold this bread that represents the body of Christ, we are reminded of all the good things you give to us. We live in a world of bounty. You spoke, and it came forth and produced fruit. And that fruitfulness has continued to this very day. Despite all of our sin and our rebellion, despite us having to live under the curse that came about righteously because of our fall, yet the earth produces fruit, and so we are fed, and so we are cared for. And so, Father, we come to this Eucharist, this Thanksgiving meal, and we give you thanks for creating us and for providing for us so richly with all of these things through Jesus Christ. Take and eat. But Father, it's not enough that we bless you as the maker of heaven and earth, the giver of bread. But Father, as we hold the cup, we confess with our mouth that we forsook our rights. We turned away from all of your gracious provision. And we rebelled against you. We brought the curse upon ourselves, and your judgment of us was fully righteous. And yet we stand at this table and we give you thanks because instead of doing that which could have easily been done and simply destroying us, sending us to hell forever, you sent your Son to work redemption for us. And Jesus, we are grateful as we hold up this cup, and we are reminded that we have been purchased with the very blood of Jesus Christ. As we hold this cup, we are reminded, O Lord, that you are good not only in creation, but in redemption, for your love is everlasting. It does not turn away, even when the price of our restoration is the blood of your dear Son, you did not shrink back. Jesus, even when the price of our redemption was your bearing the Father's wrath, you did not shrink back. Holy Spirit of God, even when the price was coming to our dead, hard, unregenerate souls and bringing them to life and dwelling within us, you did not shrink back. And so, Father, this morning, we lift up the cup of thanksgiving, thanking you not only for creation, but especially for the redemption we have in Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Take and drink. Father, as we go from this place, we pray that you would build into us the practice of gratitude, the attitude of thanksgiving. And Father, that would characterize us, for we have many things to give thanks for. Lord, I pray this week as we approach Thanksgiving, as we come to that day, that Father, it's a holiday our nation created, was not given to your church, but Father, it's good and right for us to do so. Father, I pray that in the midst of a culture that is consumed with greed for more, in the midst of a culture that is never content, Father, I pray that gratitude and thankfulness would sink deep into our bones, that it would fill our hearts, and that, Father, out of the overflow, out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth would speak, and those words would be words that would say, thank you for all the blessings you have given to us, and supremely for the redemption we have in Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would build this in us as your people, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together. We will conclude with a word of benediction, and I encourage you to go forth in the blessing of God and give him thanks this week. Now may the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you from Zion, his holy city. Go forth under the blessing of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from Bay Ridge Christian Church. To find more teachings and other resources like this one, please go to our website, www.brcc.church.